This story is one of a series of 10 stories of missing experience that are comprised from narrative interviews with adults who've been reported as missing and who have returned and who contributed to the ESRC-funded Geographies of Missing People research project.
I was really depressed and I didn't know how I was going to get help to sort of overcome it. One day I just snapped and I just went for lunch and never came back. So I just left my desk and I had my valuables in my jacket and I walked out and that's it. I didn't know how long it would last for, if I would be back or not, you know, I just kind of went. It wasn't euphoric. It felt like I shouldn't be doing it, but in my mind, I knew I had to. I can remember having suddenly made the impulsive decision just to go. Feeling instant relief from the hassle and the stress and the nerves. I didn't make a decision to go missing deliberately. I just wanted to get away from my life at that time. I wasn't sure what to do, so I started walking. I wasn't going to go out of the town because if I had gone somewhere I didn't know, it would have been a lot harder to get through the next few days. I could have gone down where my mother's from, where I'm from, but I thought it's an obvious move, really. I walked up onto the main street, then I had to join King Street, and there I could avoid the crowds. I was just walking aimlessly. I don't know how long I was walking for, as I'd stopped paying attention to where I was. And then time had gone by, and then all of a sudden it must have been about 10 o'clock at night. It was all just one step at a time, 1 hour at a time, I suppose. Other people might have just wandered, depending on their state of mind, but I did want to put my head down. So the first night, it was purely decided by the fact that it was getting dark and I was tired, and I wanted to find somewhere that was familiar. I phoned my friend. I just needed somebody to emotionally bounce off a little bit. So I phoned him and he was like, come on over. Anyway, he was just sitting and getting wasted. He always does. I didn't tell him about my job or anything. I just got stoned with him and tried to forget about it all. I stayed with him a couple of nights, which he was really happy with. I'd done it in the past, just turned up and got wasted, so he didn't consider it anything unusual. When I was there, I know I had 9 or 10 missed calls from the guy who was my area manager wondering where I was, and I had text messages saying, if you're all right, Stuart, get in touch. He did send a text saying, I'm really worried about you and stuff like that, but at no stage did he say, I'm going to phone the police or I have phoned the police. I didn't know that I would be missing at that stage. I wasn't really thinking that far ahead. It was like one day at a time. After a while, I couldn't relax at his place, and actually it was a bit of a dump. It was hard to shake thoughts of home. That was traumatic after a while. It was awful. I just couldn't relax. I needed to keep myself occupied, so I decided to leave and started wandering the streets again. I started walking in the direction of the canal, without making any conscious decision. I followed the canal, thinking, if you walk enough, you can walk off your troubles. I was vaguely worried about the police. I wondered what they were doing. I didn't know what my family was doing. It crossed my mind occasionally about whether they had reported me, and whether I was being looked for, and whether I ought to hide more. That sort of thing crossed my mind. I suppose I was thinking about it because I did take mostly back street routes, you know, in terms of avoiding contact with anything and everyone, apart from those I wanted to have contact with. I didn't have enough funds for a hotel, so at night, I sofa surfed for a bit, going from friends to friends in the evening and walking in the day. I was running out of options for staying with people, though, and I just didn't want to feel I was putting people out. It wasn't great trying to find somewhere to stay and physically carrying on. My legs would get tired from all the walking during the day, and all the time I was thinking of somewhere I could go and spend the night because I was out of places to stay and I didn't want to admit my situation to people. That was the first night I slept rough. I didn't want to be noticed, so I found somewhere in a field, a little wood off the road, and bedded down there for the night. I remember that night it rained. It was terrible because I didn't really sleep at all. I kept getting up because I was getting wet. I had a few more nights like this, sleeping out. Some were better than others. I had a few drinks each night. The worst thing was the cold. I'm quite a big bloke and I didn't worry too much about other people. I didn't feel vulnerable in that way. At night, all you had to really think about was getting through until daylight. I didn't fear for my safety, but I was worried about my options. I was feeling like I wasn't getting anywhere, that running away wasn't doing any good. And, you know, and each day would come and go and it would be exactly the same. When I was sleeping rough, I spent a lot of time in public places, like going to Asda because they were the ones that were open latest, to go to the loo and to wash, shave and stuff like that, you know. Just trying to survive, really, and keep clean. I hadn't eaten properly for a few days. I was probably hungry, but I couldn't force myself to eat. I was in a bit of a mess by this time. I'd slept three nights on the outside, and I was beginning to wonder whether or not I could actually get through another night. It was then that it started to dawn on me what I'd done. I thought I better not try and sleep outside again because I think I'm really going to get ill or something. I had no idea whether to go to the police or what, but I still didn't particularly want to tell somebody what had happened. To be honest, it was the drink making my life bearable. I bought a bottle of vodka and some coke and I went and sat on a bench for a while. It was a place where a lot of street people congregate and I was sitting there when I struck up a conversation with this street person. He was living rough and I think I told him what I was feeling and he didn't seem surprised by that. I think he was desperate for his next drink and when he realised I had a bottle of vodka, he was my friend for the day. Towards the end of the evening, he said he knew a place where I could stay. It was pretty rough and ready. The door had been kicked in, so there was no lock, no proper light. I suspected they were drug addicts by the looks of it, the way the house was, the way they were. I was really nervous at first. I didn't want to fall asleep because I thought they might steal what money I had or worse. But they were friendly enough and I think they saw someone like them who had it rough. So that night, I slept on the settee. I was very grateful for that. I had the bottle of vodka and maybe I even got another one so I could sleep, heavily intoxicated, but I got to sleep. The next day I woke up really early and I didn't want to disturb the guys and I just got up and got out and spent the whole of that day and the whole of that night wandering around, literally just walking and walking and walking again. I became more aware of the fact that somebody out there must be getting closer. So that became a pretty powerful thought towards the end, you know, someone is going to find me eventually. You worry about that and you don't know what is going to happen when you are found. Although I wasn't sure if I was in trouble with the police or not, I imagined I would get arrested. I knew I couldn't keep doing it in the end. I realised again that there is no rainbow at the end of that road. I just had to deal with the issues and I headed back. As I was getting close to home, this person on the street stopped me and said, "I've seen your face. You've been missing. You've been reported missing." I didn't know this person from anyone. I'd actually been on the television and she'd recognised me. At that point, bizarrely enough, there was a police officer coming along, just by pure chance, and she said, "Come and chat to the police officer." In a way, it was quite a relief. I could finally talk to someone. I've never been involved with the police before, and being reported missing could have felt like a slap on the wrist, but they never made me feel that way at all, which was good. They did a sterling job with me, they really did. They were concerned for my welfare. They said, "We'll take you to the police station, make you a cup of tea, and we'll go from there." They handled the situation in a very supportive and professional way. It turns out loads of people go missing every year and loads of them come back and for their own reasons they do what they do. They become a missing person for a while. It felt like I'd been away a lot longer than I actually had, but I was emotionally shattered and just wanted to go to bed. When I arrived home, I saw the shock in their eyes to see me alive. So in that shock, we all kept quiet for a while. For weeks, I was sheepish about it. I wanted a very low profile and for no one to make a big deal about it. I have had therapy, and that's easier to do than to talk to people who are closer to you. I've learnt that the journey was a waste of time in a way. I didn't get anything done or solved or changed. I suppose it taught me that you can't escape from real life, and that's what I was trying to do.